Welcome to Detox to Rehab's True Stories of Addiction podcast series. Today's guest is Aaron as he shares his story of recovery.
There was no history of any physical or sexual abuse, but there is a history of addiction within my family, predominantly on my father's side. My grandfather, he was a door gunner for the Army during the Vietnam War, and veterans weren't necessarily welcomed with the most open of arms. He ended up hooked on heroin overseas in Saigon. He ended up addicted to drugs. He ultimately died on Super Bowl Sunday 20 years ago. And my father, unfortunately, he too had a problem with drugs and alcohol. When we get addicted to drugs and alcohol and we have demons, they can tend to bring out the worst in us, make us do things we never thought we'd do. He put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger. He did it while he was on the phone with, of all people, my mother. That didn't stop my mom from taking care of me. She worked two waitressing jobs, just made sure I had anything that I could have asked for. But as time went by, the more I started to drink, the more I started to get unhappy. I was going to alcohol as my way to either escape, to feel better, to feel confident, feel good about myself. I was one of those guys where I would change who I was to fit in where I was at. I did that so many times that I forgot who I was completely altogether. During that time when I did drink, everything was kind of a blur. Looking back now, I was putting my faith in things that weren't giving me that sense of completion. It wasn't giving me the answers in life I was looking for. You know, there was a time where I sold cars in Scottsdale about 10 years ago, and I made good money at the time. Still wasn't enough. If anything, it just gave me more money to drink. In March of 2011, I finally got my DUI. That's when I was starting to realize my luck was running out. So here I am at a bus stop with a check for $50. I lost my job, I lost my car. I had little to no money. I had a year's worth of fines to pay, and the only thing I'm thinking about at this bus stop is how drunk can I get with $50. It was the only way I could feel confident. It was the only way I could just relax and just escape into a sense of non-reality, because there were so many facets of reality that were hard to deal with or I was afraid to deal with. I realized I should be either dead or locked up for a lot longer than one day that I spent in Tent City. Alcohol had a way of taking away my dreams, my peace of mind, my ambition, and everything I still could be and offer to this world and to other people that I care about. My drinking in general was just justified by a lot of denial. You know, as long as I still have a job, I'm fine because I'm holding down responsibilities and paying bills, whatever. The last thing I am is logical. The last thing I am is responsible. Because when I drink, I'm reckless, I'm irresponsible, I don't make good decisions, and depending on my mood that day, I'm angry, and I could be either angry, I could be sad, I could be antisocial, I could be reckless. The meeting that was really my salvation, it was the beginning of my journey in sobriety, was a meeting called Hope for Today. It was at Hope Chapel, and that place is like sacred ground to me still to this day. Anytime I went to a meeting there, I always heard something that I needed to hear or something that I could relate to. Because I went in there with desperation. I went in there with both hands up, surrendering. I can't do this anymore. I need help. I jumped in with both feet. I've been sober for a year. I think I can do this on my own. You know, I think I know what to do. And I had about a little over 2 months sober at the time, but I didn't have a sponsor. All it took was one bad day at work on a Sunday, and then I'm going to one bar, having some drinks, and then I'm going to another bar, and then I'm going to another bar, and then the whole thing started over again. I am drinking until I run out of money, the bars close, or I'm asked to leave, or I get kicked out. You know, that's how I enjoy my drinking. Whether I pick up that first drink and I start to slowly control it little by little, or I pick up that drink and then it's off to the races and I'm drinking myself into near fatal blood alcohol levels right then and there, all I know is, because alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful, all I know is that if I pick up a drink, it's just going to end badly. And then it just got to a point where I didn't care if I could control it or not. I was doing my normal thing where I would go to a bunch of different bars at once, and then I would leave that bar if, you know, there weren't enough girls, or if there wasn't enough people there, or I wasn't having a good time for whatever reason. I reach in my pocket to grab my wallet and pay for my tab, and I pull out an old 24-hour chip that I still had in my wallet. The second I picked up that 24-hour chip, I just stared at it for a few minutes. I looked up at my pitcher of beer that wasn't finished yet, and something came over me. I feel like the obsession left that night because I didn't want to finish that pitcher of beer. I got up, I paid my tab, I went to a meeting. I was drunk when I went back to my meeting and got another 24-hour chip. Since then, I've rediscovered who I am. I have rediscovered my boundaries. I've rediscovered what I'm passionate about. I've rediscovered what's important to me, my values. I'm reconnected with my family. I've gotten to be of service to so many different people in recovery. One of the most revolutionary times of my sobriety was when I went to a conference called ICKYPA. It was the International Conference for Young People of AA. Some pieces of sobriety represent getting a sponsor. Some pieces represent doing the steps. Some pieces represent being of service and all the other suggestions that go along with making a good program. What the picture is in recovery is who we are without alcohol and drugs, what our path is, what we're meant to do on this earth, and what's in store for us. Everything I have today and everything that I ever will have, I owe it all to this program of recovery. I'm blessed with new friends that I've known for years that I can call my family, and they'll hold me accountable. They'll tell me when things are wrong. They'll tell me when things are going good. They reach out to me. I'm able to reach out to them. And I have a better life because of this. I have opportunities. I see what the big picture is in my puzzle. Best part is that this puzzle is still not done completing.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next week as we share more true stories of addiction.